Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Monday, January 14th. Man, January 14th, it's hard to believe we're basically halfway through the first month of the year. And by Wednesday, the last show of this week, we will have already made it halfway through. Yay! That means we will have made it through halfway through generally the coldest months of an average year. But based on the warm weather we had in December, and I honestly think we're going to be paying the piper into February, don't you? Unfortunately, that's how weather in Michigan works, is that when it's nice, kind of on one end, and, you know, not so menacing and snowy and stuff, sometimes you got to pay the piper on the other side. It's just how it is, but we're doing something a little bit different now, folks. We just started doing this on Wednesday on our previous broadcast. What it is, what this is we're like introducing the phone number and that, like, basically right after we launch and get on. This way, after I do that and give the website, then we have the rest of the time and stuff to do, and we can get calls in sooner that way, I think. And I think it can just help make it better. So, with that, listeners, I'm so glad that you've chosen to join us wherever you are, whatever device you're using, and I want to encourage you, spread the word, tell other people about the show, coworkers, family members, enemies, what if instead of get out of my way when you're driving that car, instead of showing them Sutton, you just throw out a business card that says, I want to listen to my radio show. That'd be better. Yeah. You know, and then you're like, just throw it, hope they get it. Well.
Just throw it in the air like the movie Sing, where
yeah.
They put the contest on paper and then the fan just blows it all over the city.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Maybe one of you listeners has an idea. We'll see. But seriously, though, folks, I'm going to explain. So I'm just going to explain. That way this can help to tell them how. So what you tell them is that you go to blogtalkradio.com, which is all one word, and then in the search bar you type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay, that's Upfront Entertainment. After that, you'll see a link. This link says Live and Large. I want you to click on that. After that, you'll see a little bubble that says Miracle Man. We want you to click on that. After that, you'll see a follow button. We want you to get that follow button because then, starting tomorrow, you'll start getting notifications as we get ready to do our shows. The only reason I say starting tomorrow is because tomorrow's the next show. And so what that means is you'll start getting notified a little while before showtime. Oh, Miracle Man goes live in a half hour. You'll get, and then you'll tell them and they'll have that notification and then they'll get ready to tune into the program. And a couple things on that. Number one, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program, to follow this program on your smart device. And folks, we know, I don't know if you know this or not, tablets are now kind of a dying breed, more so than laptops even. You've heard this, right?
No, I haven't.
Laptops, like these iPads and that, they're sort of dying off a little bit. What I mean by that is, I mean, like this. Sales are dropping. So I'm sure they're still relevant. It's just they're dropping.
Okay, is this tablets in general or just for adults? Because I know that there's a lot of people searching for tablets for their children.
For their kids, I'm assuming yes, but for adults, I do feel like it's kind of shrinking down a bit. And because with so many of these phones nowadays, it is so easy to just have it be all in one.
Right.
And for me, for a lot of things, it's like this. For example, I'm called into the show, you know, and guess what I'm on? I'm on my iPhone. Obviously, the show's being monitored from the laptop, but technology is so awesome and so cool to be able to get to do this. And the cool thing about this is that, for example, if you're listening to this on your iPhone, you can be out driving, and as long as you have 4G, you should be able to keep the stream on. And if it cuts out, it might just be for a second or something. But other than that, generally, it should continue. Just like, for the most part, anything else. One more quick thing about that. For example, I'm leaving church last night. We're driving home from church, and one of the football games is wrapping up. I won't tell you which one because we're going to get to that later. I get in the car, you know, go to my Yahoo app, click on that thing, and I'm watching the video, you know, while we're driving. And here's what's crazy. It never once cut out. I don't think it cuts out as much anymore as it used to, does it?
No.
I feel like even in the last year, the amount of cutouts has went down quite a bit. I'm not saying that, no, it's not perfect, but it's just less of them.
Babe, I'll be right back. I have to take a break.
But I mean, folks, here's what I really mean, folks. I want to encourage you, though, to tell people how they can be a part. And before I get into the rest of the program, we do have a number where you can call and talk about generally anything you want to talk about. As long as it's not politics. If it's politics, we're going to tell you to, if you want to call in and talk about politics, we're going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you. Now, the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. When you hear the prompt that says to call into the live radio show, go ahead and press 1. And once you press 1, you'll be taken through the call screener. My assistant will answer the phone. And she'll ask you, you know, who are you? what city and state are you from? And then the reason we need that is so that I can best identify you. So that if I say Bob from Cleveland, Ohio, you're on the Miracle Man show. What say you? Or I'll say, how are you doing? Or something like that. And once I say that, you know that you have the floor. Then you'll be able to speak your opinion, or we can have a great discussion. As it's always open lines. It is always open lines. You're free to call in when we have a broadcast going. Generally, as a rule, just for order's sake, if you want to talk about sports, then I would just suggest that you would call in the last 20 to 30 minutes that the show is running. Generally, we run at 6:30 to 8. So generally, starting around between 7:30 and 7:40, we get into sports. So just something to think about. And hopefully we can have some awesome, great callers tonight. All right. Now, first off, the wonderful, delicious, best soft drink ever. Coca-Cola. And I do something now when I'm doing my show. You guys are going to think this is kind of funny. When my cup is empty, I'll do this tap thing on the table. I'll tap the cup on the table. What it means is that my cup needs refilled. To you listeners, if you hear it, maybe it could just be a hint that it's time for you to have a Coke break, a Coca-Cola break. McDonald's, where I'm at, sitting here at McDonald's, Saginaw Road, 1711 South Saginaw Road, they used to have a slogan actually back around like 1994, 95, 96, and it was, have you had your break today? And I don't know what the idea behind that was necessarily. I'm gonna have to look at that to see exactly what they meant by that. This have you had your break today thing. But not gonna do the tap thing right now because the cup's not empty. If you do, if you hear it, it could be a sign to you of, oh, have I had my break today? You know, but, so it's pretty cool. There's a couple, two more announcements before I get into prayer and then get into the word. Because we're going to talk about Ruth tonight, and I really don't want to be rushed. I want to be able to read it and describe it. And Ruth is four chapters, so we'll be doing it two nights. I'd like to be able to get through chapters 1 and 2. We'll see how time goes. But, anywho, two announcements. Number one, I will be singing in Saginaw at Frank Gallardo's church over there on Stone Avenue or Stone Street. I'm not sure exactly whether it's called street or avenue or road, but it's on Stone. It's just east of the river, of the Saginaw River, so it's just barely on the east side in Saginaw. I believe it's just south of downtown a little bit, too. I'm going to look up the address, and I will have it for you folks tomorrow. I believe that service is at 11 o'clock. My mom's going to preach an awesome word, and I'm going to sing you an awesome song. And I want to encourage those of you who can to come over to Saginaw. No, don't just come to Saginaw. Come to the church. I will look up the actual name of that church, too, so I'll give you a name. But this will be Sunday. I believe service is at 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, it's January 20th. And then afterwards, if you'd like, we can maybe go somewhere like to a restaurant over in Saginaw of your choosing, if you want to. I said this last week and refused to give hints because I want you to decide. Okay. But we'll see. Number two, Detroit Auto Show is media days have already started. The public show revs up starting this coming Saturday. The 19th goes to the 27th. And I was thinking about doing this tonight, but instead I'm just going to do it tomorrow on Wednesday, and then maybe one of the days next week, kind of look at discussing kind of where I think the future of cars is heading. And when I say future, what I mean is, I would say as recent as like 2 or 3 years, and then as far ahead as like 10 plus. I was listening to a technology show last night on 100.5, and the guy was saying something about he heard that there could be driving flying cars. What? That's what, by the way, is actually what I thought when I heard him say that. I'm like, I hope he's right. I'd love something like that. I'd love to be able to just get in that self-driving flying car and tell it, fly me up to my grandpa's, or fly me down to my mom's, fly me down to and then hopefully it'll be able to, like, land anywhere. I wonder if you'd be able to fly it to Saginaw. Depending on how fast they go, it'd probably be probably be 20 minutes instead of a half hour, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's it's hard to tell, because of course when you fly it, you can go as the bird flies, you know. Was like what I was saying earlier, but I'm not gonna get any deeper into that right now tonight because there's too much other stuff I want to get to. So, those are the announcements. Now here's the outline for tonight. So, Miracle Man, what are you going to do tonight? Well, after I get done, as soon as I get done telling you what we're going to do, we're going to pray. Then we're going to open up our Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Let me just check my clock real quick. We'll go through Ruth chapter 1 and possibly chapter 2 as well. We'll see what time allows. Then I'm going to, we're going to discuss it. And there's some great things in there. The story of Ruth and Naomi and God providing, it's an awesome story. It really is. So I was going to go through the last one of the chapters, the Judges, tonight, but then I was doing some notes and prepping, and I felt like, you know, I really want to get to the story on Ruth. I will get to Judges right after that, and then we are going to get into 1 Samuel after that, because I love the story of Samuel and that first chapter, those first couple chapters. I know it's one of Preacher Man's favorite stories, and we are going to get there within the next few shows. We're going to be getting into that. And so, looking forward to that. We're going to do that. I'm going to pray. We're going to have our time in the Word. After that, we're going to sing Good, Good Father. So we'll do that. And then we have football games to discuss as the NFC and AFC final championship games have been set. Also, we got some awesome basketball things to talk about here in Michigan, so it's busy. And I'm busy tonight, and so with all that, knowing we got all that, so much stuff we're going to do, well, started off with a word of prayer, and then be ready to open your Bible. But obviously, we're going to do it right, and I'm going to say, you know, open your Bible to the book of, but first, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, for the show. I thank you for all of these people, wherever they're from, whatever device they're using, listening to this program, whether they're across the road from where I'm at, or whether they're in another state, or even in another country. I just thank you that you would bless them for making the choice to get on board and listen to this program wherever they are. I thank you that these listeners will be able to change by this time in the Word. I just thank you that You'll speak through them. You'll speak to them as we take this next bit of time and read in the Bible and exhort about the things of God. And I thank you that they have hearts that are ready to receive from you, God. And I just thank you that you minister to them. I thank you that all of these people receive something from you. Because every individual needs something different. And I thank you that you're meeting the need. I thank you that you use me tonight as your servant, as an oracle for you, as we open up your word and study about you. I thank you that if I give you permission, God, to interrupt me at any time you want. And Lord, I confess over this program right now, finances come into this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program who want to help us do the work of God. I thank you that more and more listeners come into this program as we're believing you, Jesus, for the amount of for the listenership to double. And I'm believing for increases. I'm believing for salvations on this program. Salvations, people coming to you, people repenting and coming back to you after not living for you. I just give you praise and honor and glory for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen and amen. All right. Ruth chapter 1. Let's go. Let's see who can win. Praise God. Ruth chapter 1. Now, just follow along and be a participator. All right, we're going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 1. By the way, Ruth is right after Judges, right before 1 Samuel. I'm going to begin reading. You just go ahead and catch up. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and his two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judea. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite woman, one named Orpah, and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, Chilion and Mahlon died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and without her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-law prepared to return home from there with her two daughters-in-law. She left the place where she had been living and set out on the road. She set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judea. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is much better for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. And Ruth, just turn on the page. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. And Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Pause. This is talking about capital G, the Lord. When Naomi had said, Orpah went back to her own gods, that's little g. That's false gods. Okay, back to it. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Verse 17. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separate you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley was beginning. All right. This is good. Let's continue into chapter 2. Now, Naomi, by the way, folks, this part in here, this gets really good. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Abimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters. I'm just turning the page. Well, by the way, we are in verse 6. Whose young woman is that? The foreman replied, "She is the Moabite. She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning until now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. You don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting. Follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found so much favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. Now, you left your father and your mother and your homeland, and you came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done." not done. I'm just may you be restly, vastly rewarded by the Lord, richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under which wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort, and you have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles you leave them, and leave them for her to pick up, and do not rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at which place she had been working. The name of the man I worked for today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen, redeemers. Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all of my grains. Naomi said, she said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls with Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. All right. Amen. Amen. This is, so, what we've been reading tonight is a very awesome story. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to be might get to this. We might actually read this tomorrow night because this is a miracle in itself. So, here's the deal. So, Ruth, no, listeners, I'm not going to tell you what that's about. We already talked about that earlier. Right now, we're focusing on the Word of God. So where was I? Ruth chose to go there to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law. Now, Naomi had been saying, hey, Ruth. She said, Opa, my other daughter-in-law, she went back to her family, to her kinsmen and her gods. Why don't you come back? Why don't you go back to your old ways? She basically said, no, Mom. She basically said, Mom, I'm kind of changing it to, like, today's language. So she basically said, Mother, I want to come with you. Your God will be my God, which turned out to be the God of Israel, our God. Because God is God. He was God of the Israelites. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of Samuel, Saul. God in many of those other books. He was God all over the Bible. He was God in the New Testament. He's God now. God does not change. He always will be God. And Naomi basically said, and then when Naomi realized it, Naomi stopped urging her. So Naomi and Ruth travel to Bethlehem. Then they move in. Mind you, there is a very severe famine going on. So there is like so little, there's like no food. And mind you, the poverty rate, you have to imagine, it was extremely, extremely, extremely high. The famine was so bad that those who had food were the rich ones. Mind you, they didn't have grocery stores, but she goes to work for Boaz. And she goes out to the field and she's gleaning and picking up whatever she can find. And she's talking to Boaz and the servant girls, and he says, Ruth, I was told about you. I was told about what all you've been doing for your mother-in-law. He basically said, I was told everything. And so Ruth is over there that day working working with?
We'll just call it
Boaz's farm. I mean, Boaz's field or whatever, or we'll just call it. Oh yeah, so he was working at Boaz's with the girls and him and the foreman. And they basically said, let her glean behind us. Let her glean behind you guys. You guys do your work, and she'll get whatever you guys miss. And so she's out there doing that work. In the process of her doing all this work, she had such favor with Boaz. She had so much favor. She let him sit down with her and the servants and such. At mealtime. Now it doesn't say whether it was lunch or dinner. So I don't know, but it'd be like today. It'd be like everyone is. This would be like everyone at work just sits there and has lunch together. It'd be like that, and everyone's there, and they're. And they're sitting there. You know, having lunch, and Boaz lets her take all the roasted grain that she didn't eat, so that there'd be some for her mother, so she'd be able to eat, because mind you, there was a very severe famine, like I said, so food was very scarce. So, they're out there, and then she gleans in the field until evening. She goes back home, and Naomi she basically says, "Hey, Ruth, where did you glean today? Where did you go to work?" And she said, Ruth says, Your mother, the woman I worked for, where I went to work today, the person I worked for was Boaz. And Naomi says, Boaz? She said, that's one of our very close relatives. And she said, he never stops honoring and respecting the living and the dead. She basically said, he is a man of honor. He is just an awesome man. He's a provider. He has a heart. She said, you know, he has such a big heart. And she says, Ruth, stay working with him. If you go work for someone else, you might get hurt. But if you go to work with Boaz, you won't get hurt. And he'll love on you. And he'll be there for you. He'll help you. And here's something to think about. Here's some stuff to think about. Ruth had never been there before. She didn't know Boaz. She didn't know these other people. She didn't know the territory. She didn't. God was there. God helped her. She chose to follow God instead of following Naomi's first request after Naomi's husband and then her two sons died. So Ruth had lost her husband, and then Orpah had lost her husband. And on the way to, once they get there, basically to Bethlehem, she says, Naomi says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. The Lord has put all this stuff upon me. God did it. You want to know something? She had a messed up doctrine. God doesn't put harm on us. No. God didn't kill Kilian and Mahlon and Elimelech. God didn't kill them. There was just a rough famine. It was a disastrous time. God did not kill them. No, he didn't. She was misinformed. She chose to... She chose to blame God. And Boaz was there, you know, providing for Ruth. And next time we're going to be getting into chapter 3. And we're going to continue talking about this. Because God makes a way where there seems to be no way. He does. And Ruth decided, I don't want to go back to my past. I want you and me to walk this out together, Mother. And I want your God to be my God. And where you die, I'll die and be buried there. And she was really helping out her mom, mother-in-law. She was really helping her out. And Ruth was just an awesome person in the Bible. I love her. When I think of some of the ladies of the Bible I want to meet in heaven, Ruth is up there. She was just so awesome. And then Boaz, he was awesome too. It's just, you know, the story of Ruth is just an awesome story. It's rich. I just love it a lot. It's awesome. It means a lot. Yeah. Boaz provided, you know, and he was totally godly. And you know what I think? Actually, I know. God used Boaz. God used Boaz to help Ruth. God did. And God is always there. He's always there for us. He's He's unending. He's always on time. He's just so awesome. And that's why he's so great. And with that, I'm gonna sing a song, and then we're going to move on to. We're gonna sing a song, then we're gonna pray, then we're gonna get into the sports discussion. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. And I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers that only you provide, and you know just what we need before we say a word. You're good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Yes, you are perfect in all of your ways. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Love so unexplainable, I can hardly speak. Peace so undeniable, I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 you're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Yeah. Mom, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You're always there for us. You're always there to encourage us. You never lead us astray. Sometimes we get in the way as Christians. Sometimes, you know, we might have a little attitude or something. I thank you that you help us with that. May we never blame you. And Lord, I just thank you for this word tonight, that it would get inside of all of these great people who made the choice to listen. I thank you that anyone who is listening to this program right now who does not know you as their Lord and Savior will give their life to you right now in the name of Jesus, that they would call me right now so that I can help them to give their life to you, Jesus. And I give you praise and all the honor and all the glory for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your mighty word. All right. Thank God for Coca-Cola. Now, before I get into the sports thing, I wonder, Cassidy, why is it, do you think, that Pepsi is the soda company that sponsors the Super Bowl halftime show? Why isn't it Coke?
I'm not sure.
I hope it's not Mountain Dew. To be honest with you, folks, I wish Coke owned Mountain Dew and not Pepsi. I do. But that's another topic for another time. Because I got a ton of sports to get to. There's a lot of good stuff on both of these, and I was thinking, you know, basketball first, football first. I'm going to go with basketball first. And Saturday, you know, the Pistons go out to Los Angeles to take on the Clippers, Griffin's former team, and they went out there and shocked them, 109-104, behind Blake Griffin's 44 points. 44 points. 44. That's just incredible. 44 points by Blake. He did a great job. And for the Pistons, this got them out of that four-game losing skid they were in. I hope they can carry this momentum for a while, because I want to see them get to a lot more winning. Like, just like the next team I'm going to discuss. I'm talking about as they're winning an awful lot. Talking about number two ranked Michigan. Michigan is ranked number two right now, folks. They're ranked number two. And it's amazing what they're doing. They are selling out the Chrysler Center. 14,000 seats. And all their home games, they're selling it out now. Michigan was not always known as a basketball school, but these fans have been so great. They've been packing out the Breslin Center. They've been so loud, and Michigan took down Indiana last night, in Michigan. This 17-0 start is their best start in program history. They have won 31 of 32 games. 31 of 32 going back to last season, going back to like midpoint of last season. And mind you, some of the best players from last year, a couple of them graduated, a couple of them declared for the draft. And they just keep winning. They just keep winning. It's awesome to see what they're doing. Really is. I think you could do a Michigan-Michigan State game at Little Caesars Arena, and they'd probably fill the place. I really think they could. You have Michigan ranked number 2 right now, Michigan State ranked number 6. You heard about this, Cassidy, right? How they're both ranked super high.
But
folks, they are Michigan State. They only have 2 losses themselves. They're undefeated in Big Ten play, just like Michigan. They had a couple losses early on, both of them were to highly ranked teams. Both of them. One to Duke, the other to someone else. And later on in the season, late February and then like March 9th, they have a home and home. I'd like to see one of them played in Detroit, to be honest with you. I really would. I think that'd be cool. I don't know. They could maybe even fill Ford Field at this point. At this point, they really could fill Ford Field if both stay this good. I didn't realize until recently just how good it's getting, because many of us have been focusing so much on football. In Michigan, in terms of basketball, Michigan hasn't been never really been the basketball state that Kentucky is. But it's really good right now. As 2 of the top 6 teams in America are right here. In Michigan. You know, 5 years ago when you had this, and you had Michigan number 1, Michigan State was doing pretty good, but not like this. Izzo admitted last night that there were things they could have done better. Less turnovers. Things of that nature. I would agree. Now, let's go to football. Usually, I'd be a lot more excited about the football than I am the basketball, but mind you, about the football, I am really excited. There's some good games. There's two good games coming up this Sunday, but this Michigan and Michigan State stop, it's awfully good. I hope it continues. I really do. Now, football. This is your Fox Sports presentation. No, it's not. This is the Miracle Man. I just did that little Fox Sports thing. But mind you, all right, we had 4 games this weekend. Here's the deal. AFC, the AFC games, AFC divisionals, blowouts. NFCs, both of them were right down to the wire. Very good games. I'm going to start kind of game by game. Saturday, Colts at Chiefs. Mind you, it was snowing in Kansas City. I thought the Colts, even though they play in a stadium that has a retractable roof, and obviously in the winter the roof is closed there, I thought that the Colts were going to do a really good job, match up with the Chiefs, and beat the Chiefs. I really thought they did. They would. That's why I picked the Colts to beat the Chiefs. Ah! 31-14. I got demolished. 31-14. Chiefs over the Colts. As Andrew Luck had trouble. It was just not a good game for the Colts. It really wasn't. They struggled. And it was just not pretty for them. Chiefs were loud. Fans were loud. Chiefs haven't been here to this point in over 25 years. That was the other side of the factor. Because the Chiefs hadn't won a playoff game at home since 1993 season. And then they lost before they got to the before the AFC Championship game, they lost in divisionals. But they won this time. Actually, I'm going to go by conference, not by game. And then yesterday, Patriots, Chargers. I thought this was going to be down to the wire. No, it wasn't down to the wire. It was, in fact, a blowout. But 41-22. Patriots take down the Chargers. As for the third year in a row, for the fourth time in 5 years, Tom Brady and the Patriots going back to the AFC Championship game. I figured the Patriots would come back. I thought the Chargers were going to work a lot harder in New England. I really thought they were going to play hard, play very hard, and give Brady some trouble. And yeah, at times there was some trouble, but not the amount it would have taken to beat him. So, Sunday, Patriots. This time it's not going to be at Gillette. It is at the Chiefs. Does this affect it? Bill Belichick said this morning, I was listening on ESPN radio to one of the shows, and they're talking, and they said, according to a report, that Bill Belichick said that that in his mind, there's no such thing as home field advantage. We got to play. We got to play every game. We got to do good, and we expect to win. Here's one thing to look at, though. They were 3-5. They were 4-4 on the road this year. But 8-0 at home. 9-0 at home, actually, including the playoffs. And Wednesday cometh. The pick cometh. And might have to do a coin flip or something. Now, go to the other side now. Cowboys at Los Angeles Saturday night to take on the Rams. I figured one of two things would happen. I figured either the Rams would win but keep it close. I mean, either the Rams would win and the Cowboys keep it close, or that the Cowboys would win and the Rams would keep it close. The other thing I said was, I thought was possible, was that the Rams could just totally knock them out and just beat them big time. Well, what happened is, yes, the Rams did win, as I predicted. I said it would be like 38-34. Instead, it was 30-23. What this means is it was a one. It's pretty close to what I saw. It was one possession, meaning if Dallas had went down the field, got a touchdown, and a good two-point conversion, they could have won it. Now, Ezekiel Elliott, he's an awesome guy. He's doing great things. And as I'm learning, though, I can't say, oh, next year they're going to go to the NFC Championship game and then maybe go to the Super Bowl. With this level of talent right now in the league, it is so hard to tell. But I will discuss that part of it possibly tomorrow. It was a good game. It really was. It was fun. Last night, Saints versus the defending champion Eagles in New Orleans. Mind you, I was so proud of that stadium last night, that parts of that game I got to listen to. I was so proud of that fan base and how loud it was. Do you think that was the loudest stadium you've ever heard, to be honest with you? Do you think that one takes the cake? It was it close, or do you think it was pretty big time?
I'd say pretty big.
Oh, by big time meaning the next loudest that you've heard, although very loud, you don't think it was close to this.
Wait, you're stepping on your phone.
They say that the Chiefs had the noise record. I'm curious what the Chiefs stadium is gonna sound like Sunday. I hope it's very loud because I love very loud stadiums and I'm going to try to sound like me. I love how Madden would come on and he would say, this place is loud and loud and louder. One time he actually said that in the Silverdome back in 1991. This game is at 91 Cowboys, Lions beat crush Cowboys. This game is actually on YouTube, available. The NFL actually put it out, actually. And it's like their only playoff win in the modern era at home. I watched it. That place was loud back then. The Silverdome was. And it was just... And Barry Sanders was there, and it was just awesome. And to me, that's part of what I look for when I'm watching a game. I love that big rush coming from the fans. I love it. I just have to imagine if I was in there in New Orleans at that game, I would have to imagine that I could have felt possibly the floor kind of moving or shaking a bit. Do you imagine it was? I'm sure it was, don't you think?
Yes.
Either that or the crowd volume thing on the guy's mic was turned up. But I doubt it was that. I bet you it actually was doing that, though, don't you? Because it was, I wonder if it broke a decibel record. In a way, you wouldn't be surprised if it did, would you? Or got really close to one. It was a stadium decibel record. I mean, for crowd noise, it was awfully high. You know that much.
Yeah.
Because you could still hear that over your heater. You know what I mean? Because you could still hear all that screaming over your music and stuff. And that, one of places like that, it is no little deal. I mean, it is huge. And the Saints did a great job. Even though they were down 14-0, I was on my way to church. They were down 14-0. But the fans were still in it, doing good. They got back in it. It was, by that point, 17-13 by the time. At one point it was 17-13. Then 17-14. They ended up winning 20-14. The Saints, my friend, get to host the Rams. For the Saints, first time in the NFC Championship game since 2009. For the Rams, it's the first since either 2001 or 2003. They were in there in 2001, but I'm not sure about 2003. I'm going to look and get back to you on that tomorrow. Okay? Until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow.